You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The reason why the New York Yankees signed Gerrit Cole. What? His ERA is over 5 over the last month, and he's been hampered by a hamstring. What that portends for tonight. And the reason why Red Sox DH J.D. Martinez will be out tonight. Twisted his ankle, jogging over second. One of the games he was playing the outfield this weekend. Yikes! That's how we got into a one-off playoff game.
That's how I get hurt, not an athlete.
We'll get to that in a second. We're going to start with the emerging news of the day from the NFL, and it's from Jacksonville. His conduct last weekend was inexcusable. Now he must regain our trust and respect. That's Jaguars owner Shad Khan, and he's talking about his head coach, Urban Meyer. Meanwhile, Michael Lombardi, citing two Jacksonville sources, saying that there were many closed-doors meetings over the last 2 days, and none of them were about the upcoming game against the Titans. And there was a report from Mike Silver quoting an unnamed Jags player saying he has zero credibility in the stadium and I don't know how he's going to function.
I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction, just stupid. And so I explained everything that happened and owned it and, you know, just stupid. Should not have myself in that kind of position.
How much all of this is about the video of Meyer in a bar that came out this weekend, and how much this is about something more? Bomani Jones, how did we get here, and can you see it being the end of Urban Meyer in Jacksonville 4 weeks in?
I mean, I don't know if it's the end 4 weeks in, but it's over. I mean, I don't see any reason why he even is going to have the job by the time we air this, and the reason I say that is it doesn't sound like the owner wants him to be the coach. It doesn't sound like the players want him to be the coach. It don't sound like the coach want him to be the coach. So what is the reason that he is sticking around for this other than pride at this point? You don't lose a locker room and then wind up getting it back. And the thing about this, if he hadn't have done the press availability on Monday, this probably all ultimately winds up going away. It happened on a Saturday. It was a full Sunday of NFL games. People would have gone past it, and then he stood up there looking like a sucker with his head down. And it sounds like when he talked to the team, he was looking like a sucker with his head down, and they came out of it with no respect for him. And in college, you can use power as a proxy for respect. You can't do that in the league. The people you're dealing with have to respect you. They do not respect him. He's done in this town.
Sarah Spain, same questions to you. How did we get here, and could it possibly be over for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I don't think he earns back that respect. And to Bomani's point, maybe with college players, you could BS them about what they saw with their own eyes. But to walk in there and try to convince them it was just a random girl and, you know, you can get caught up in this. Then to throw Trevor Lawrence under the bus during his mea culpa presser and somehow involving a star rookie quarterback and making him implicit in it is unnecessary. And none of this happens in a vacuum. A lot of people are saying this is not worth losing a job over. This quote-unquote moral clause does not get put into place unless you're losing. Otherwise, you can do whatever you want as long as you bring the W's. But the problem is this is a pattern of behavior. And when you're only 4 weeks into the season, but you've already got the Tebow thing, trying to hire Chris Doyle, the unnecessary, unvaccinated remarks that everybody said, that's the quiet part, don't say it out loud. Plus this, you're just wondering what's next. This is clearly someone who doesn't know how to carry himself as the face of the franchise, has lost the trust and respect of the owner and the players, and doesn't seem like he wants to be there either. So whether it's now or a couple of weeks from now, Bomani's right, it's over.
Tim Kalisha, how much of this is about the video that came out this weekend? How much is this about everything else? And do you believe it's over for Urban Meyer?
Tony, I just want to apologize to the panel. I said Urban was going to be a good head coach. It was stupid. Now I'm a distraction. But the reason I said that is because I talked to Jimmy Johnson this summer, who had him out on his boat, and he said Urban's going to be fine. He gets it. He doesn't seem to get anything. And one thing he has never gotten, even you go back to his big problem at Ohio State, and we could discuss whether how he initially handled his wide receivers coach, how that was. But once it got out, once he got to the press conference stage, that's when it all falls apart. And as Bomani said, once he got up in front of that microphone and once he talked to his team about it, that's when the story starts looking ridiculous to people and you start shaking your head. And so, you know, I think he's going to make it through the season and he's going to win some games. But, yeah, I question who, if anybody, wants
to. Oh, you do? Okay, okay. Just to put a fine point on it, speaking of spousal abuse allegations of a position coach when he was at Ohio State,
right,
and how he did not report that, or how he avoided it completely. He called it a blind spot, I believe. Clinton Yates, I'll bring you in here. This video of himself at a bar over the weekend, in a long week because they played the short game. They played Thursday night. So this is not that. What do you think this is, and how do we get here?
I think the video has a lot to do with it because it allowed people to point to something and say, we don't want this. I got to admit, I was very surprised to hear Shad Khan come out and say this was inexcusable. That's a pretty high mark of a word for somebody that is in a league that players do all sorts of things and they get away with it. I mean, the tone of that presser, beyond just what he said, indicated to me that he had no idea how this was going to land in Duval County alone, because the people there were asking him extremely personal, intense questions, and they seemed disappointed, which was apparently surprising to him. And it was a little bit surprising to me overall. People get away with a lot in the NFL, but I don't think that Urban's going to get away with this because the folks around him just plain don't like that level of activity, whether or not you have a problem with it, as in all of us or not.
I'm almost surprised to hear you guys say that. Once again, arrests in a program, which was what was – Florida had over 30 arrests when Urban Meyer was the coach there. Spousal abuse in the program and not following through on that. That's what it was in Ohio State. This is video at a bar in the midweek between two games? Bomani Jones?
Nah, this is an excuse. Like, this is the reason to jump on him, because he really is an easy target to jump on. And he's an easy target for good reason, by the way. What I'm shocked by is that anybody here actually thinks he's going to make it all the way through the season, because the biggest thing that Urban Meyer cannot handle is losing. He couldn't handle losing preseason games. They're going to lose so many games, and it's going to beat the hell out of him, and it's already beating the hell out of him. One of them is going to say this is over. The question is going to be, can Jacksonville wait him out long enough to make him quit so that they don't have to pay him? Because he's going to want to quit.
Tim, I'll let you back in because you believe he is going to make it through the year.
I'm going to take the Bomani challenge. I think he's going to make it through the season, and it's going to be interesting to see when they win a couple of games, because it doesn't take much to compete in a division where Carson Wentz is the best, leads the best team, how all this is forgotten or if it's still playing out.
Cyrus Spain.
When they going to win a couple games?
Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to win a couple games. I don't look at their schedule and think there's any gimmies in there. More importantly, I think, again, it doesn't matter whether your sensibilities think it's a big deal for an older gentleman and a younger woman, or a married man and a younger woman, or whatever combination is that bad. It's the pattern of behavior that at some point you have to stop believing that this guy is going to act differently than every other stop he's been at before. And maybe the Jags thought at the NFL level he could, but through the first couple weeks, this many things already, I think they're just worried about nipping in the bud before it gets worse for the franchise.
On the football field, the franchise with the second longest losing streak in NFL history. Active. It's current. You're right. Tim's got them winning, I know, rolling out 7 or 8 wins. The division is
still in grass. They're coming. Yeah. They're coming.
We'll move on. Yankee Sox tonight. Oh, let's talk about this. That J.D. Martinez is not available tonight. Here's video. Tripping over second base, trying to run out onto the field this weekend in an interleague game. One of the series where he couldn't be DH'd, so he had to play the outfield. And now he's out for this game. Gerrit Cole hasn't exactly been Cole lately. A hamstring injury and his ERA over 5 for the last month. One game playoff between two teams that never get enough of each other. This game, I mean, what are we looking at? 5, 6 hour, 7 hour game, knowing these two teams? The history and the present. This year, 19 games, Boston 10, New York 9. Clinton Yates, who's got the advantage going into game 20 here for all the marbles?
It's very, very close, Tony. And I hate to say this, the only reason the Boston Red Sox have an advantage, they're playing at home. They're going to get the last frame. Otherwise, the way that the injuries match up, the way that the roster construction matches up, there's no LeMahieu, there's no Voit for the Yankees, and Garrett's kind of touch and go. But I also think there's this. These two teams came into the playoffs in different ways. The Yankees were sort of holding on, trying to put it together, trying to, you know, put the plane together as they flew, and the Red Sox had to hold on in order to get to where they are moving upwards. I simply think that they are trending in the right direction in a different way from the Yankees. And again, having the last frame is hugely important in a one-game scenario when you can stack your bullpen and you can do all this other stuff because the roster construction is different.
Tim Kalishaw, who's got the advantage?
Yeah, I don't like the JD injury, but I like Boston too. I think they can play with a little freedom. All of us or everybody, the media and fans say, go back to 1978 and all these Yankee stories haunting the Red Sox. We are so far removed from that. The Red Sox won 4 World Series this century. They don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. I think Red Sox fans will forget they ever had to watch Kyle Schwarber play first base because he will DH tonight, and he will deliver the big hits on Cole, and they've beat up Cole all year, and I think they will do it again.
Cole's ERA over 4 against Boston this year. You say everybody remembers 1978. I don't believe one member of this panel remembers 1978.
In general, they remember hearing about
Darren Spade, how about you?
I don't remember it either. I don't know if you were referring to me. I think there's 3 of us that don't remember 1978, but there's only one that does. I think we always know things can turn on a dime in baseball. Expectations don't always end up in reality of a game. So when I'm looking at this matchup, I try to figure out which has more phases that I believe in more. I think the Yankees starter, as much as Cole has gotten hit, Eovaldi also got hit up last time he was up. So I think that I give the nod to Cole there. I give the nod to the Yankees bullpen. I know Cora is going to get sneaky and use some starters in relief because it is a one game. But I still think I give the nod to the Yankees. I like the hitting of the Red Sox, but they're going to be losing Martinez, which is a huge part of it. And you look at Judge, who's got a home run in 3 different wild card games. That's the tied for the most ever. Cole's got the most experience in one, you know, winner take all wild card. These things all lead me to say that if we're going based on expectation, I've got the Yankees.
Yeah. Tied for the most ever home runs in wild card games. Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle just could not get it done.
They couldn't do it. They were not clutch in the wild card game. We know this.
And Bomani Jones.
Man, we don't do no more guessing than we do when we trying to say who's going to win one
individual
baseball game.
No, but who's got the advantage?
Game,
that's the question. Hold on a second. Who's got the advantage?
Who's got the advantage? So the Yankees, they are the ones that have better pitching. The Red Sox are the ones that have the better lineup. So we're trying to say, which one are we going with? And I generally, in postseason baseball, and maybe this is just a hard life of being an Atlanta Braves fan, go with the guy who throws the hardest. Because when your guy doesn't throw as hard as the other guy, you tend to feel like you're going to lose. Gerrit Cole throws hard, hard, hard. And the guy way over 200 strikeouts this year, that's the one I would lean on in spite of
the fact. So does Eovaldi. Eovaldi's one of the hardest throwers in the game as well.
I said the other one throws harder. That's what I said. We guessing, man. I told you we was
guessing. Maybe we can get a locomotive and have it race the two balls. Yeah. Okay.
The only way we would
know. From Houston, though. That's cool.
All right. With that, we're taking a break. Buy or sell next coming up. Last night's Chargers win. Is it the start of something? And this one play. I love this play. This fake punt. Awesome job all around.
Got him.
Oh. You always wonder when you see guys unchecked at the line why we don't just audible out and throw it to them. Well, this is one. I mean, this is an incredible play from Hunter Renfrow. Look at the all 20. Look how much he has to cover to snuff it out at the end. Wow, what a great play. I'd play him at safety. Two-way player.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Score reset here. Bomani Jones, you told us that you were taking the pitcher who throws harder, and I questioned whether Eovaldi threw harder than Cole. For the season,
Gerrit Cole, the second fastest fastball in Major League Baseball. Uvalde is fifth, so you get your points back. There you go, Bomani Jones. We'll get to some Monday Night Football now. Chargers 28, Raiders 14. The possibility the Los Angeles Chargers have finally figured out everything. How to close out games, how to get incredible quarterback play. Justin Herbert may be the number one young QB you build around. Tim, what did the Chargers prove last night? Could they be the best team in the very good AFC West?
Oh, I think they have a chance to be. I don't want to put the Chiefs away yet, but the Chargers are really close to being 4-0. They kind of shot themselves in the foot against Dallas, taking away some of their touchdowns. My only question with them, can they handle 17 road games? That's going to be tough. This week, it'll be 40,000 Browns fans cheering for them there, and that's going to get old.
I love making jokes about L.A. fans. Everybody loves making jokes.
No, just Charger fans.
Sarah Spade?
Yeah, you look at a Chiefs team that you don't want to put away because we have the proof of concept that they can pull it off, but their defense is looking really weak right now, especially when you look at a Chargers defense that figured out how to stop the run yesterday. Through the first couple games of the season, they'd allowed an opponent rusher to have at least 70 yards a game. This time, they managed to shut it down and make it so that the Raiders had to be one-dimensional. That aspect of their defense that we hadn't seen yet, and doing it against a Raiders team that was one of the top offenses, that's what I needed to see to think that they could be the best already.
But Monty Jones.
You know, we are asking if somebody proves something after four games in an NFL season, right? Our standard is a little bit tricky. I don't think they proved anything other than they could be the Raiders, a team that probably had some things to come in to prove in this game themselves. We don't know nothing, man.
Clinton Yates.
Yeah, but last year they lost seven games by one score. The year before that, they lost nine games by one score. That's not what's happening this year. Brandon Staley, to me, is the coach of the year at this stage. That quiet storm offense gets it done. I like what they're doing so far from a
quiet storm. Through four games, Bomani, you don't want to get on the record saying anything, but I'm going to put it right here on the table for you. Betting favorite for NFL MVP? No longer Patrick Mahomes. It's Kyler Murray. I know you say we don't know anything, man, Bomani, but is it possible you're willing to say the MVP goes through Kyler Murray?
No, it's not going through him. It's going to go through Patrick Mahomes because he's Patrick Mahomes. That being said, Murray's averaging 9.5 yards per passing attempt so far this year. Like, if that keeps up through the entire year, you're talking about an all-time great type of passing season, like a Peyton Manning 2004 type of thing. If he plays like that, he will win.
It's also about the efficiency, man. The way Kingsbury's got that offense moving, they are hard to stop, never mind fun to watch. They dismantled the Rams, who got outcoached as well. I mean, I think that it's obvious. They're the only undefeated team right now. He's clearly the leader.
Tim, are you willing to say MVP goes through Kyler Murray?
I believe at this point it does, although, again, 13 games to go. He does lead in completion percentage. He does have the best offensive mind in the league guiding him.
Is that right?
Yes, that is right. Yes, I didn't say best head coach.
And Sarah Spain. Now hearing Kyler Murray is past Patrick Mahomes is the betting favorite. Do you believe the MVP goes through him?
I'm going to agree with Bomani that you don't go through someone who hasn't ever won it before. He needs to get there first for it to go through him. But 30-plus points at over 400 yards in those first four games, and most importantly, all of them wins, which means you've got a complete team. You got highlight reel plays, plus your own stats, plus your team is good. That's usually a pretty good recipe for an MVP.
It'll be Cardinals 49ers Sunday, another great NFC West showdown. The latest on Jimmy Garoppolo's calf. Had an MRI. They're still taking time this week to make a decision. He missed, of course, most of Sunday's loss to Seattle. When Trey Lance came in, 9 of 18, 157 yards, two scores, passer rating 117. Majority of it came on this completion to Deebo Samuel, where he was more open than anybody's been open in 3 years. 17.6 yards of separation. Sarah, I recognize asking someone from Chicago to make a decision on an announcement on a rookie quarterback is a touchy subject. How should the Niners feel about going to Lance this week?
Well, I am a panelist on this show, and that's real. And I have to agree to like this decision, and that's real. doing my best Matt Nagy on this one, trying to make myself feel okay. Listen, you don't go to Lance unless Jimmy G can't get it done. Not because Lance won't eventually be better and doesn't look promising, but because you're a Super Bowl contending team that can get there with Jimmy G doing his best. And Lance is so new and so fresh that as much as those reps are going to do well for him, they might put your team at risk overall. So I'm okay with patience
here. Monty Jones?
I mean, I'm not so sure they're a Super Bowl contending team at this point. They haven't looked that good here. Now, the issue for me is that Kyle Shanahan is going to go with the quarterback that lets him call the game that he wants to call. That's how those offensive guys tend to do this. That's probably still going to be Garoppolo for a while, because it didn't look to me like Shanahan was calling the game with Trey Lance, where it seemed like he trusted the quarterback that he had.
Yeah, the difference between Nagy and Shanahan is that Shanahan claimed to have a plan for both of these two guys, but now he's got to figure out a plan for Trey. I think you start Garoppolo right now, but you understand that going forward, that's not going to work because he hasn't been able to get it done. But as long as he can do it now, you give him a shot.
The 49ers came heavy on draft day to go up and get this guy, and I don't know how long they think they need to wait, given that Garoppolo isn't that good. Very simple.
All right. Kalishaw, Spain. Wow, this is
not that good.
51 points yesterday.
Not that good, I guess.
Dead ball error of around the horn here.
I know. What's going on?
Yates, Jones, showdown. First to two wins.
You're gonna hurt
my
average.
Squid Game style.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Clinton Yates, Bomani Jones, good luck in Showdown. Showdown 1, the Phoenix Suns' reluctance to offer a maximum rookie contract extension to DeAndre Ayton, former number one pick. It has stalled discussions, according to Woj. Clinton, how would you describe the position the Suns are taking?
Incredibly lame. Ayton is not just some random guy. He finished high school in Arizona. He went to Arizona. He was the number one overall pick, and he balls out in the playoffs, taking you all the way to the finals. Pay this man. What are we talking about?
Well, Monty?
I'm not giving a description. I would just say what it is. It's the reason why y'all was sorry for an entire decade, because your owner does stuff like this. They have no leverage in this. They're going to have to max him out. Why wait?
Tell us how you really feel. I guess you guys agree. We'll split the point. We'll move on. Showdown 2.
Warriors on top by four. Curry defended by Little.
Not this year.
Not this year is the call of the game there. Yep, that's the point of emphasis that is aimed to stop Curry from currying and players from doing this. How's this going to play out, Bomani Jones?
They're going to enforce this very tough early, and then you're going to see it slide back a little bit. But on that play, did Steph try to put that up left-handed? Was he so dedicated to the insurance fraud that in order to make it look like his shot didn't go up, he went up with the left?
Clint Yates.
He occasionally makes shots left-handed, so that wasn't that far out of the realm of possibility. But my favorite part about that was the reaction from Steve Kerr. I'm very interested to see how coaches get on these refs, because players are going to be able to play through it.
Insurance fraud. That's get Bomani Jones 30 seconds of FaceTime.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, shout out to Andrew Wiggins. I know it was tough, but he decided he wanted to come to work and make those $30 million. He just had a shot to do it. But he said that he hoped somebody would stand up for their beliefs in a way that he was not able to. Is Kyrie really going to be the dude to do this? Because he did not come to practice. And everybody feels confident, hey, by the time the game starts, he's going to show up. Who the hell knows what Kyrie's going to do? Is he really actually not going to show up to work behind this? Because if not, thank you, brother. My job will never be easier than it has been if you decide you are not going to come get millions of dollars because you don't want to get vaccinated. Help me.
Content.
We're on a 23-and-a-half-hour break. We'll see you guys tomorrow around the horn.
Happy Hour is presented by DirecTV Stream.